Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? Surely you're not nervous. Perhaps if you can't, if I tell you a story.
We are met to call from out of the past. Stories, strange and weird.
Tales of mystery and terror by radio's masters of the macabre.
Stories of the supernatural, the supernormal, dramatized by fact, the mystery, the unknown. We tell you this right. So if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these madmen, play, we urge you, calmly, sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
Welcome back to the horror. We're going to take a trip down the Hall of Fantasy for today's show. A series that took the air in the 1940s, created 183 episodes. Sadly, most of those are not around. Most of what remains is from a 1953 syndicated run over Mutual stations. We'll hear from that syndicated run today with The Crawling Thing, heard May 18th, 1953.
And now, the Hall of Fantasy. Dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden, down to the depths where the veil of time is lifted, and the supernatural reigns as king. Come with me and listen to the tale of The Crawling Thing.
Be quiet. I don't want to wake the others. Look at the cage.
What do you mean? The mouse. What happened to the mouse?
Let's go over to the cage.
The spider, it's doubled in size again.
I know. The mouse is gone. Now, look at the partition between the two pens.
There isn't any partition.
That's right. And I don't think the partition slipped down between the two cages. I think that the two holders for it were opened and then the partition slipped down.
Does that mean you're endowing the spider with...
with intelligence. Yes, that's right. Remember what I said earlier? What would happen if the yes quantity also enlarged the ability of the brain to think? Well, it's happened. That spider will kill. It can think. That hairy, crawling thing can think.
In just a moment, the Hall of Fantasy will present The Crawling Thing. And now for our story, an original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Crawling Thing.
Quite by chance, I've come upon this little diary of Emery's, the mirror of a man's mind. I shall read you only those parts which concern the experiment, the months which brought him into contact with his ultimate death. Oh, yes. It begins on this page. July 7th. Today I met Dr. Henry Sindler. I've always recognized him to be one of the greatest research men in this field. I applied for the position of his assistant.
I only hope that he accepted me. It will be a great opportunity for me if I manage to get the position. I remember when he walked out to meet me.
I take it that you are Mr. Bolton?
Yes.
Sindler, Dr. Henry Sindler.
Yes, I know.
Please sit down, Mr. Bolton. It distresses me to see a man like you nervous and shaky. I'm not going to hurt you.
Well, I'm sorry, sir.
Now, you no doubt are aware that I drive my assistants to a state of utter exhaustion, that I expect quite a good deal from them.
Yes, I'm aware of that, Dr. Sindler.
Yes, all right, good. And thank you for coming to see me, Mr. Bolton. I have many other applicants to see before the day is over. If you are accepted, we will notify you.
The Dr. Sindler...
That is all, Mr. Bolton. Good afternoon.
July 11th. I was accepted. He called me this morning and said that he had chosen me to fill the position. Yesterday, I felt sure that I'd been rejected and almost accepted the position with Gates, but something held me back. I am to see him tonight for dinner.
This is Donna Atwell, Mr. Bolton, another member of the research team.
How do you do?
It's a pleasure to meet you, Miss Atwell.
Will you join us in the martini?
Yes, certainly.
The laboratory up in the mountains should be completed by the end of this month. I have a few things to clear up here before we start on this new research. I imagine you're willing to live with me and the rest of my staff?
Oh, yes, by all means, Dr. Sindler.
Yes, excellent.
I'm very interested in knowing what we're going to do.
Tell him, Donna.
Dr. Sindler is endeavoring to discover a method by which he can make plants and animals larger.
Larger?
Yes, Emery.
Well, how?
Every living thing, be it plant or animal, gives off electricity to a greater or lesser degree. By means of the electroencephalograph, science has already discovered the human brain gives off small microvolts of electricity. When a man becomes angry, this charge is strengthened. With the increased flow of electricity, his physical strength is also increased.
Dr. Sindler is looking for the chemical which is released into a man's body, along with adrenaline, which gives a man this added strength and which also increases the microvolts of electricity.
I see.
Your cocktail. Allow me to propose a toast to our work together. May we have success.
July 23rd, the laboratory is finally completed. Sindler and I are going up by car tomorrow. I am impatient to begin. July 24th. We arrived shortly after noon today.
I'll take you on a tour of the building later, Emery. Now I want you to meet the others. Donna, will you and Dr. Henderson come into my office, please?
Yes, Dr. Sindler.
Besides the four of us, the only other persons in the building are the cook and janitor. I dislike having too many people engaged on one problem. You understand, of course.
Certainly.
Miss Atwell and Dr. Henderson have been my colleagues on several other occasions.
The building is perfect, Henry.
Yes, Henry, they've certainly given us everything to work with this time.
Emery Bolton, this is Dr. Paul Henderson. You already know Miss Atwell.
How do you do?
Glad to have you with us, Bolton.
Emery, you are to work on the effects of the unknown chemical which is released into the body at moments of anger or peril along with adrenaline. I shall try to isolate the chemical. You are to discover what effect it has upon the nerves and brain.
August 4th. Sindler has isolated the chemical. He calls it the strength quantity, or S quantity. He fed some to a lab mouse.
How much time has passed since the injection?
3 hours, Dr. Sindler.
Let's look at the pen.
I hope we have more success this time.
I think we will.
Maybe I'm wrong, but the mouse does seem to be larger.
It is larger, Donna.
Then we found the formula.
We can't be too sure if it's safe. The other subjects died.
Dr. Sindler?
Yes?
How large will the animal grow?
We have no idea of knowing that, my dear.
Do you think there's any possibility of it growing too large?
What do you mean?
We're changing the size of that animal beyond all proportion to what nature has evolved. Do you think there's any possibility of the subject growing too large for us to handle? That mouse there might grow into some hideous monster that could destroy us all.
Back now to our story, an original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Crawling Thing.
I'm here in this seemingly deserted laboratory. In my hands, I hold the diary of Emery Bolton. Though there's nothing in his words that should cause me to feel any alarm, still there's something I feel that causes me to look back over my shoulder into the shadows. I continue with the diary. August 5th.
The animal is three times its normal size. It killed two other mice.
Emery.
Yes?
How is your part of the research coming?
I've written it down for you. Here.
Let me see. The effect of the S quantity increases the microvolts of electricity, and we go on.
Dr. Sindler?
Yes, what is it, Donna?
Paul wants you in the isolation room immediately.
Why? What's wrong?
I don't know. He just told me to get you.
Oh, come with us, Emery.
I wonder what's happened.
We'll know in a minute. What is it, Paul?
Henry, the mouse died a few minutes ago.
What?
Yes. As you know, the S quantity has an immense effect on metabolism. I imagine the animal wasn't able to stand the strain.
What are we going to do?
We'll try it again. Failure may mean nothing. Perhaps the animal was sick. We're not sure that the strength quantity will kill.
August 9th. Sinder told us to feed the S quantity to another mouse and also to one of the large, hairy banana spiders, a member of the deadly tarantula family, in the cage next to the mouse. I was with Henderson when the feeding began.
Open the cage door.
Right.
I'll set the food in here, like this. All right, close the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now the other one. Open the cage door.
All right.
There, that'll do it.
Paul, do you think the spider will react to it?
I don't know. I imagine so. Spider, I...
What's the matter?
Ever since I was a small child, I've hated them. I get nervous whenever I see one. This type, especially.
You're a scientist, Paul. You should be completely objective in this experiment.
I know I should, but that spider, that hairy, crawling thing, I wish I could forget my fear and hatred of them, but I can't. They always seem so cold. A person feels that they have an unearthly, inhuman intelligence behind their beady little eyes. Of course, that's not possible. I think it's just the same.
I wonder if the S quantity will also increase the size of the brain and its ability to think. Still, August 9th, 4 hours later. The mouse has increased slightly in size, but the growth of the spider has been amazing. The size has been more than trebled. It's almost as large as a child's fist. August 10th, 3 a.m. Henderson woke me and went into the isolation room where the mouse and spider were kept in a double cage.
Be quiet. I don't want to wake the others.
Look at the cages. Now, what do you... The mouse. What happened to the mouse?
Let's go over to the cage.
The spider has doubled in size again.
I know. And the mouse is gone. Now, look at the partition between the two pens.
There isn't any partition.
That's right. It slipped or was moved down to the bottom of the cage.
Then that means...
That the mouse and the spider had nothing to separate them.
But what happened to the mouse?
Don't you know, Emery?
Unless
what?
Unless the spider...
And that's just what happened. And another thing, Emery. I don't think the partition slipped down between the two cages. I think that the two holders for it were opened, and then the partition slipped down.
That means you're endowing the spider...
With intelligence, yes, that's right. Remember what I said earlier? Would it happen if the S quantity also enlarged the ability of the brain to think? Well, it has happened. That spider will kill. It can think. That hairy, crawling thing can think.
August 10th, 4 noon. I didn't get much of a chance to see Sinclair before 11. When I did, I discovered Henderson had already told him what had happened in the isolation room. And you know about the spider.
Yes, Emery, I do. Henderson told me earlier.
What do you think about it?
Think? What do you mean?
Don't you think we ought to destroy it?
Destroy it? Of course not. This may be what we're looking for, Emery. This may lead us to success.
But, Dr. Sinclair, it might be dangerous.
Yes, it might be. But you remember that the development of the atomic bomb was dangerous, and so is the research going on in countless laboratories across the nation, across the world, Emery.
That spider has intelligence, Dr. Sinclair, a crafty, cunning intelligence.
Yes, I know that. We have found a new formula to increase the intelligence and size of an animal. And, Emery, it will increase man's intelligence, too. Our contribution to the science of the world will be invaluable. There's nothing to worry about, absolutely nothing.
August 15th. The spider has grown so large that it cannot be kept in the cage anymore. The isolation room is its pen now. It has the run of the entire room. It's as large as a large dog. I must admit that every time I enter the isolation room, I'm nervous lest that thing should attack me. But it generally stays over in one corner of the room. Apparently, it has no desire to harm us. August 25th. Donna and I are taking a stroll outside the laboratory.
Emery.
Yes?
Emery, I've been with Dr. Sinclair for several years. And all that time, he's never made a mistake. That is, up to now.
What do you mean, Donna?
I think he's created something that will only bring evil. That will only... Oh, I wish I had the words to express myself.
I know exactly how you feel, Donna. I've talked to him about this before. I'm going to talk to him again when we get back.
I wish you would, Emery. I wish you would.
What are you doing in here, Emery?
I want to talk to you, Dr. Sindler.
Can't it wait till later?
No. That noise, what...
It's the sound of the spider that moves closer to us. What did you want to say, Emery?
I'll be quite frank about it, sir. I think we should destroy it.
Why, that's nonsense, Emery.
No, it's not. It's true we may learn something. It's true that we may even succeed in our research. But let's start over again. Let's experiment with something else, something that doesn't look like a monstrous throwback to a prehistoric age. It crawls and slides across the floor with its large, beady eyes always open, staring at you. Let's destroy it. What's the matter?
It's coming towards us. Come with me, Emery. Quickly,
Fred. The creature... It was crawling towards us.
I wonder if it can understand us. I wonder if it knows what we're saying.
Either that or it sensed that I was urging its destruction. Maybe I'm wrong, Henry. But I feel there's something malevolent about that spider. I get the feeling that it's waiting for the right moment. Waiting for the time when it will kill us.
Back now to our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Crawling Thing.
I am beginning to feel some of the terror that Emery Bolton must have felt. I'm beginning to feel the presence of the crawling thing about which he writes through the words upon these pages. The diary continues.
September 8th. The cook and janitor left today. If we remain here, we'll be forced to do all the work they did. Henderson has been acting queerly. It's a strange, haunted look to his eyes. He barely eats at all. Either he's ill physically or mentally. What's the matter with you, Paul?
What do you mean?
You look ill. You're not yourself.
Can you be yourself, Emery? That crawling monster in the isolation room? Well, can you?
No, not exactly.
Let me tell you something, Emery. My dreams, I see it. My dreams in the dead of night. I see those beady eyes looking for me, trying to pierce the darkness. And I feel drawn to it, as if it hypnotizes me. And I feel that I'm caught in its web, just like a fly, Henry. Just like a fly.
It's only your imagination.
I'm not insane, if that's what you think. And I'm quickly being driven there. Did you ever look at those eyes for any length of time, Henry? Did you ever see the hatred and loathing and evil mirrored in them? I'm not imagining it. I see it. When the opportunity comes, I'm going to destroy it. Sindler or no Sindler, I swear to you, I'll kill it.
October 10th. Henderson has been so quiet lately that I know he has some plan in his mind. Some plan that will culminate in the destruction of the spider. Sindler hasn't noticed any change in Henderson. He's engrossed in his work. October 16th. Henderson whispered to me this evening that tonight he will kill the spider. I sit in my room and write this, with only the desk lamp lit. It is almost 11 o'clock now. And I have the feeling that the moment is drawing near. I don't know. But I think we may find the answer in the isolation room. Come with me.
You don't mean that Henderson went in there alone?
I'm afraid he did.
But that's against all my orders. Why would he want to go in there?
Let's kill it.
What do you mean?
He hated and feared the spot. We'll see what happened right now.
Here's the key.
We don't need it. The door's open.
Turn on the light.
Good heavens. Back. Back to the other side of the room.
To understand you, Dr. Sindler.
Probably from the tone of my voice. Now, to examine Henderson. He's dead.
Dead?
Yes. After all, in the spider's original size, the poison could kill a man. Here, give me a hand. Help me get him out of here.
All right.
Look out! The spider's coming towards you.
Help me with Henderson. Hurry, Bart! Come on, let's get out of here.
Hurry, hurry!
lock the door, Donna.
Yes, of course.
I don't want that thing to get out of that room.
Don't you think we should destroy it?
No! Henderson was a fool. He went in there to kill the spider. I think the spider sensed it. That's why Henderson's dead. We are still going on with the experiment.
October 17th, we buried Henderson in the graying light of dawn. Even Sindler was quiet. October 18th, I am in charge of feeding it. Donna and I were in the isolation room today when a curious thing happened.
Emery, look.
What's wrong?
The spider. It's crawling over to the table where the S quantity is.
Under it.
If what?
The spider's trying to get more of the S quantity. It'll stop growing now because we stopped the injection.
If it were to get more of the serum, it would grow larger.
Going to get that bottle and take it out of here.
Be careful, I might.
Don't worry, I will.
Look out!
It won't let me get past.
Maybe we better get out of here. It's crawling towards the table.
We have to stop it.
We can't. It's lifting one of its legs. What is it trying to do?
Get the bottle, Donna. The bottle of serum.
Knock the bottle to the floor.
It's going to drink that serum.
Get out of here.
You're right.
What are we going to do, Emery?
I don't know.
I heard some commotion down here. What's the matter?
Spider just got through knocking the bottle of chemical serum to the floor.
But that means
that it'll grow larger. I told you we should destroy that thing in there. Now it's too late. We don't know how large it'll get.
Be quiet. I have to think.
That's right. Use your mind now, Sindler, when it's too late. We had a chance to destroy it earlier, but no, you wouldn't have any of that. A man of science, that's what you are. But you're a fool, too, Sindler. A stupid, misguided fool. That thing in there could kill us all.
What the hell?
It's trying to break the door down.
We'd better barricade that door. If we don't, it'll break it down in a matter of seconds.
October 24th. Six terrifying days have passed. The creature in the isolation room is out of all proportion. Well, we've barricaded it. The door is weakening. It won't hold up much longer. I called Frank today. We can't leave that thing alone. If it were to get loose, we must destroy it. Sindler has a plan. We've placed explosives just outside the door. It'll give way any minute now.
It's only a matter of time now. When it breaks down the door and comes through that doorway, the explosive will automatically go off. I hope we're successful.
Why don't we just leave?
We can't do that. We have to see it destroyed. That's the only way we can be sure.
What if
the explosive does not kill it? I don't know what will.
The door is starting to give.
It's starting to come through.
As if I were hypnotized.
I can't move. Oh,
look out! Look out! Ah!
Even though the last entry in the diary was marked October 24th at 7 in the morning, in my mind I've reconstructed what must have happened after that last entry. There is evidence all around me of the death and destructive power of that hairy, crawling thing. It must have left the building after what happened. I'd better get back to the city and notify the...
Front of me.
Something so large. Gigantic eyes looming up at me. I can't move.
Unusual, the terrifying, the unknown. Join us again when next we journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear another strange tale of the supernatural. All characters and events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of The Horror. If you want to hear more from the Hall of Fantasy, more horror, dig up more old-time radio, just visit relicradio.com. You'll find all the shows listed on the front page, links to everything else, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this show, help keep it all going, donate from the site. Thank you very much to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again Wednesday with another episode of The Horror. The Horror is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.